Grace and peace, dear saints, from Father God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his hard word today that makes us sit up and reflect on who we are as your children, on our need for repentance so that we may have everlasting life, and that you have granted us access to your heavenly throne through this Jesus Christ. Lord, open our ears and our hearts. Pour in your word with your spirit. Fill us to overflowing with your love. And at our last day, take us to be with you in heaven. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Watch the news, read the stories, observe life, and you'll quickly be reminded of things you already know. Siloam's was not the last tower to fall, and Pilate was not the last tyrant to hurt or kill another person. Our world is full of tyrants and towers. They come in all sorts of events, ways, and circumstances, as we have again been cruelly reminded recently. Sometimes it's intentional, other times it's accidental. Sometimes it's of human origin, other times it's the way of nature. Accidents, disease, crime, divorce, famine, poverty, war, earthquakes, cyclones and droughts. Those are but a few of the tyrants and towers in this world. This is the world we live in. And we're forced to face the reality that life is fragile, unpredictable, and often tragic. Sadly, we meet this realization with misguided and frankly unhelpful explanations. They got what they deserved. God has a plan. Everything happens for a reason. He's in a better place. There's a lesson to be learned here. This was God's will. Someday when we get to heaven, we'll know why. I can imagine similar explanations were offered to Jesus by the people who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. But this is typical of the line of thinking that says something bad happened because they were bad people. The problem with this kind of thinking is that it limits God's love for us. If we are good, God will love us. If we are bad, God will punish us. That's conditional love. To this kind of thinking and all the other simplistic, worn and unhelpful responses in the face of tragedy, Jesus says, "No, I tell you, that is not who God is or how God acts. The truth and reality is, actions and choices have natural consequences. Sometimes there is tragedy and suffering. Other times there is prosperity and joy. Sometimes healing, other times death. The reality is, good things happen to both good and bad people. The reality is, bad things happen to both good and bad people. Tyrants, towers, and God don't pick favourites." That is more than clear in Jesus' statement. Unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did. Unless you repent. I suspect that's not what the people wanted or expected to hear from Jesus when they told him how Pilate killed the Galilean worshippers. I can't imagine it made anything better when Jesus followed up with the story about the 18 killed when the Tower of Siloam fell, and then reiterated his words, "Unless you repent." Let's put that in our own context. Imagine that one day you phone me or drop into the office and tell me that you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, that your best friend just died in a car accident, your daughter is being divorced, or your husband just lost his job. How would you feel if I responded, unless you repent? Your next phone call or visit would probably be with Bishop Altus. Can you believe what he said? How could he say that to me? What are you going to do about this? Let me be frank with you today. If you've got a pen and piece of paper, get ready to write down the bishop's number. Jesus' words are not all that helpful. They offer no consolation, explanation, or comfort. Unless you repent is not what we want to hear. However, from time to time, it is what we need to hear. Sometimes we need to hear the obvious. Sometimes we need to hear Jesus the prophet. Today's gospel is tough love, pastoral care. Prophets speak hard truths, truths we often don't want to hear. But the voice of the prophet is not the voice of condemnation. It's diagnostic. Jesus is looking with insight into the condition of our lives, making a diagnosis and offering a corrective remedy. In effect, Jesus is saying to us, I see that you are sick. Take this medicine and you will be well. Prophetic words challenge us. Sometimes they scare us. Other times they make us feel guilty or angry. But always they grab our attention and show the way to new life. Unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Unless you take your medicine, you will remain ill. Torrents will act and towers will fall. Now is the time to examine the fig tree of our life. Where is our life bearing fruit? Where is it not? Where do we need to spend time, care and energy nurturing life and relationships? What are our priorities and do they need adjusting? Who or what orients our life? Are we growing? Or are we wasting the soil of faith in which we have been planted? These questions sorely challenge us, but we need to hear the urgency and necessity in Jesus' words. Not because God is spiteful, but because life is short, precious and sacred. Jesus is more concerned with why people don't fully live than he is with explaining why people die, tyrants act or towers fall. Everyone dies. But not all truly live. Which brings to mind a quote from one of my favourite animated films, The Croods. Anyone watched it? No one see. You've seen The Croods? John Cleese is one of the voices, Nicolas Cage. Oh, you're missing out. I'm going to have to show it here. It has got so many theological underpinnings. It's unbelievable. Incredible film. When the young daughter, Eep, read Emily, finally loses it with the overly cautious, life-draining attitude of her father, Greg. She exclaims, "You have to stop worrying for all of us." Greg rejoins, "It's my job to worry. It's my job to follow the rules." Eep retorts, "The rules don't work out here." Greg sheepishly offers, "They kept us alive." And Eep explodes with, "That wasn't living, that was just not dying. There's a difference." I can't help but concur with Eep's observation when I think of all the opportunities I've wasted in my life to really have a crack at something interesting without fear or favour. And more importantly, the opportunities I've let slip to establish and grow in my relationship with God and other people. The prophetic challenge Jesus sets before us is beautifully nuanced by the American poet Mary Oliver. In the last lines of her poem, The Summer Day, Mary asks, "Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" This question drives to the heart of Jesus' clarion call to repentance. The question underlies and guides our journey through Lent. The way to true, full life is through repentance. Repentance is the means to reclaiming the one wild and precious life entrusted to us. Repentance is the way to life, the way of becoming most authentically who we are and understanding who, at the deepest level, we belong to. Ultimately, repentance is about choosing to live and live fully. It means turning our mind and purpose to the frequency of God's will. So choose. And if you find you've made a bad decision or taken a wrong turn, don't lose sleep over it. Choose again. It's never too late. One more year, the gardener told the owner. This is not about time, but about forgiveness, grace, love, and second chances, as we hear in Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Remember, good saints, when all the misconceptions, distractions, temptations, and lies about the Christian faith are filtered out, only one thing remains: grace. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Grace is God's willingness to act above and beyond all expectations and limitations, because it is, as he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I'm curious, my friends, what will you do with your one wild and precious life? Furthermore, considering the extraordinary conclusion to today's gospel, where Jesus heals a woman who had been crippled for 18 years, the question becomes, what will Christ do with your one wild and precious life? Now that is an exciting prospect, is it not? Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.